6:03, we will call this special meeting workshop meeting of Thursday, July 9th to order. Will everybody please rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here this evening. Please guide this meeting. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant? Councilmember Lehman?
He's here.
Councilmember Salazar?
Here.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here. So we have a quorum. We will move to item 5, citizens' participation. We do not have anyone signed up for our special meeting for at the 6 p.m. We will move to item 6A, presentation and discussion on the City of Kirby funds. I will turn this over to our city manager.
Tina and I are going to tag team this presentation. We're going to start with discussing what the City of Kirby funds are, provide some examples about what you can spend money within those funds on, and then we will stop after each fund and take any questions that council has on the specific funds.
Jerry.
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask Monique to talk to see if you can hear her, okay? Can you just let us know?
Everything is kinda loud, blurry in the background.
Okay.
Are you able to hear me now?
Yeah, I think so. Go ahead.
Okay, we're gonna talk really loud.
What?
She's going to start the presentation now.
Okay, we are going to go over the City of Kirby's budget for 2020. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the different funds that we have and what the funds are generated for. The first one we have is the general fund, which is our usage policy. The general fund is expected to exist throughout the life of the government and is used to finance the day-to-day operation of the city. The general fund finances fully or partially all activities that are typically considered governmental programs or functions of the city, as well as capital expenditures. Revenue from this fund are obtained from taxes, franchise fees, licenses, and permits, charges for services, fines, interest, and grants. So here is the list of revenue funds that we collect in the general fund. One is taxes, which will be your property taxes, your city sales tax, your HB 445, which is your street tax, and your beverages. Those are all considered under taxes. Your franchise fees, number two. Number three is licenses and fees. Number four is intergovernmental, which would be like we get checks for the crossing guard from the school district. Those are considered intergovernmental. Your fines and penalties, charges for services, any grants that we receive, and number eight is miscellaneous, so any kind of miscellaneous revenues. Is there any questions about any of that?
Anybody else? Oh, no. Y'all are best. We'll ask
Okay, for general fund expenses, I'm going to go down each department. Pretty much most of it will all be the same except for general operation, which is at the very bottom. So you have your city council, your city admin, your police department, your court department, your fire department, animal services, parks, and streets. Those, all eight of those department, excuse me, will have salaries, supplies, miscellaneous, contract services, and capital outlay. So those are all pretty much the same through all of those departments. General operation will be the account that's set up for supplies, your maintenance, and your contract services and miscellaneous. That is the only one that does not have salaries and benefits in there, but pretty much everything else is all the other departments.
To waterfront, let me just kind of add a few, you know, examples. So basically your general fund has the majority of all of our city departments that we cover, and the revenues is where we collect basically on a lot of our services. So when a person gets a ticket, you pay for a traffic citation, a code citation, those go into your general fund revenues. All of our property taxes, they go into your general fund revenues. Like you mentioned, licenses and fees, if we charge a fee for service, permitting, those are all going into your general fund revenues. And when you're paying those things out, we don't spend any money out of your revenue, but the money that's coming into your revenue supports what you budget for your general fund to take care of the budget for each of these departments. So we wanted to just kind of be clear about that, because I know we get a lot of questions from people who ask, you know, well, why do you spend, you can spend this amount of money on a certain project, but you don't have money for another project, because it could be funded out of a different fund. So for example, we can't pave a street out of the water fund. We have to pave a street out of the street budget. And we'll talk a little bit more about the street maintenance tax when we get to our tax breakdown. But does anybody have any questions about that or want us to elaborate on anything out of the general fund? Okay, keep going.
The next thing we'll go to is water fund. The water fund account is for operations that are similar to a business found in the private sector. Its fund is considered self-supporting in the services rendered by it generally financed through user charges. The water fund is to account for all activities, which is a fee is charged to external users for items such as water and sewer usage. Activities are reported in the context of the principal revenue sources. The water fund activity is financed with the debt that is secured solely by pledge of the net revenues from fees and charges of the activities, laws, or regulation require that the activities cost of providing services, including capital cost and depreciation debt services, be recovered with fees and charges of the water fund rather than with the taxes or similar revenues. The pricing policy is the activity established fees and charges designed to recover its cost, including capital costs such as depreciation or debt service. So, strictly, the water fund will be only solely for the water. It will not be paying anything else that are having to do with general fund. So the water fund revenue expense, the revenue consists of your sale of water, your sewer charges, your penalty, your Edward aquifer fees, turn off and on charges, miscellaneous income, and of course your interest income. Those are what are considered in your revenue and your water fund. Your expenses in the water fund is the salaries and benefits in the water department, supplies, maintenance, contract services, miscellaneous, and capital outlay. Again, capital outlay is usually items that are over $5,000, and those are things that can be depreciated. And so, just as a reminder, capital outlay is in the general fund and also in the water fund. So the general rule is anything over $5,000. We normally put those in capital outlay when it's a one-time purchase for that fiscal year.
So let's just add an example of something that we're doing out of the water fund right now. We are required by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality to clean, inspect, and paint our water tanks a minimum of every 10 years. We have two water storage tanks in Kirby. We have a 250,000 gallon and a 500,000 gallon. So in, I believe it was 2016 or 17, we did the 500,000 gallon tank. And this year, we are currently toward the end of finishing the other tank, the 250,000, which is at Peppermint. And that project cost $316,000, which actually was a lot lower than we anticipated. We budgeted $500,000 out of the water fund. It's costing $316,000, plus we just did a change order for $500 for the logo, because actually, the specifications for the logo were a little bit too big, so we had to scale that down. So they should actually be finished with that in a couple of weeks. But that is a project that is funds that are restricted for those types of water capital projects. And again, it is required by the state. What we've been trying to do now is alternate every 5 years painting a tank so that we don't get so far behind that we can't afford to do both of them at once. Some other, I guess, just some examples of things out of the water fund. You can, since you know Public Works has water, streets, and parks as a each division in that department, there are some things that overlap. So there are some expenses that can be split between general and water if it is related. So for example, Public Works has to tear up a driveway to make a water main repair. That is an expense that can be fully taken care of out of the water fund to do the repair and to do the asphalt to replace what was torn up for a water repair. But again, they can't go out and just use the water fund to pave a street.
The next account we have is the debt service fund usage policy. The debt service fund is used to account for the accumulation of money designated for payment of general long-term principal, interest, and related costs. This includes any payments associated with lease, purchases, revenue, and certificate of obligation bond. So your bonds are usually voted on by your residents. So the general obligation bond was the last one that we did. It was a series 2018. The voters approved this bond in May 2018 to do the 2018 series bond. On September the 5th, 2018, the city of Kirby was rewarded $6,715,000 for the general obligation bond series 2018. The wire transfer to the city was the amount of $6,845,000 to the construction fund. So as of date right now for engineering fees, phase one, which is the feeder street off of Ackerman, that's what we call the mill and overlay. And then phase two will be considered the Ackerman Road reconstruction. For engineering to this date, we have spent $399,963.56. For phase one construction costs, JMP won the award for that, the contractor. And so that was just strictly the phase one of the mill and overlay on the feeder street. And that project was $180,751.43. That phase one is complete at this moment. So the general obligation bonds, the current fund balance is $6,497,636.86. And that will be considering the remaining fees for the engineering and phase two of the construction, which will be Ackerman Road.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And I will just add, within that phase two of Ackerman, and you all heard this a couple of weeks ago when M&S Engineering presented the 95% design plans, that it does include a short portion of Hedwick and Bauman, and it also includes drainage. And so we want, you know, that it did, we say Ackerman Road because that's the majority of it, but it does have some of those feeder streets. One thing that we are hoping to do, because this account does accrue interest every month, so right now our estimated cost for construction is and engineering for the remaining is about $6.4 million. If we continue to accrue interest, which we will, there may be a little bit of money left over to allow us to go another block of Hedwick possibly, but we won't know that till we get to the end of the project. And whatever is not spent, we will use toward additional streets in that area, because that money has to all be used toward the capital construction project that the series bond was approved for by the voters. So I know we often get Facebook posts and comments that we have this money and we didn't do anything with it. Well, we have been doing something with it. It is a process. It is securely in the bank and is being used as needed. We transfer it from our investment account into our bank account per invoice that we get from the contractors. We only transfer what we need to spend so that the rest can stay and accrue interest. Okay. Any add something else?
Any other question on that? Okay. Yeah, most of the money, all the money is mostly in the tech pool account. And like she said, we transfer as we get the bills from the engineer or the contractor, then we transfer into the checking account. And Textpool is pretty quick. If I get the wire transfer in before 3, it can be done that same day and I can write the check, or it goes in the next business day. So Textpool is pretty quick about that on the wire. Okay, I wanted to discuss the difference of how our taxes or broke down for sales tax. The Texas imposes a 6.25% state sales and use tax on all retail sales, leases, and rentals of most goods, as well as taxable services. So that is 6.25% straight across the board in all cities. Local taxing jurisdiction is the city, county, special purpose district, and transit authority. Can also impose up to 2% sales and use tax for a maximum combined rate of 8.25%. So here is the breakdown of the percentage for the city of Kirby. Again, the state tax is 6.25%. Kirby is 1.00%. As I was talking about a while ago, we have the street maintenance tax, which we call it the HB 445. That is 0.25. And the crime control prevention district gets 0.25. Those two things, the street tax and the crime control, is voted on by the residents of the city. The San Antonio Metro Transit Authority, they get 0.50%. If you take all of that, it adds up to 8.25%. So that is your breakdown of your sales tax.
Can you explain what the San Antonio Metro Transit Authority tax is, just in case?
I'm gonna try to answer. I think it has to do with VIA.
Yeah,
it does.
It's so that VIA,
I just want everybody else to.
So
yeah, that is money, it comes off the top. VIA gets those funds to be able to provide the services in your community, and it should be used to go back into the communities for street repairs, bus stop improvements, and so forth. Our most recent improvements from VIA was, I'm going to say that was 2017, when they did the bus stop improvements throughout the city, where we got the shelters with the city logo on most and the Old Spanish Trail logo on one of them, and the upgraded landing pads. That's money that we do not get. It goes directly to VIA to support their services.
So I have a question with everything that's going on right now and the budget downfall that they're experiencing. Do we see that being altered at all?
We have not heard any indication that it will be altered. The only thing that we've gotten from VIA so far is that they will not be implementing I can't remember what the plan was called, but they had like a vision plan of some projects that they were going to do, that they won't be implementing that because of the budget shortfall. But that's all the information they've given us so far.
So how would we not have that tax on there? What would be an alternate if we didn't want that 0.5?
So it could be by a vote. The council could, you know, propose that we remove VIA from our community, which would mean the service could no longer pick up and drop off in Kirby. We would not have bus service.
And I wanted
suburban cities that have done.
Right, and I just want to know, that hasn't been talked about. I'm just wanting everybody to understand what that piece is of that, so. And that would mean that VIA wouldn't be available either. Not only the big ones, but the ones that are the handicapped or
right, for medical services.
For medical services and those, okay.
That is correct. We would
Shuttles.
Not be entitled
Shuttles,
to any VIA services if we did away with that.
Okay.
And one thing that, you know, is important is when they did those bus stop improvements in 2017, they also did a ridership study in the area. So they did look at closing a couple of bus stops, but the others had a significant ridership in our community for them to keep those stops open.
And we do have one resident who is very active in VIA. So she makes sure that that VIA holds is accountable for that.
And just to kind of go back up to a couple of the other taxes, you know, the House Bill 445, I don't remember the year that was implemented, it's been quite some time. That street maintenance tax goes into a specific revenue account that we do have, and then we turn around and we allocate the following fiscal year the amount that we collected. So for example, last fiscal year we collected about $70,000. So that's why in this current fiscal year budget, we have a $70,000 project. And, you know, we get questions about, okay, well, why didn't you use that, you know, money for paving an entire street? Well, again, $70,000 is really not enough money to pave a street. So what we're doing this fiscal year, following our street assessment plan, the street assessment plan identified this year what streets needed to be repaired, and what streets they recommended that we do slurry seal on, because they're in fairly good condition and you slurry seal them to protect them and expand the life. So we applied for the CDBG grant for Borchers, which would be our total reconstruction project. And then the slurry seal is on three streets. It's Boltman, you remember offhand?
Boltman, Pageland,
it's not Page, and it's brand new.
Blue Jay. But it's three streets total. And so Public Works Director and our city engineer are working on the specifications for that now so that we can have that completed before the end of the fiscal year. So we will spend that $70,000 that came in for the street maintenance tax. And then so far this year, we have collected, let's see. We collected about $58,600, and that was as of July 1st right now. So we'll most likely get to the 70 figure, and we will allocate that towards something else next year. There's also some recommended crack sealing in there. And then if we're able, we can take some general fund monies and add it to that money to do a larger street project. But again, that just depends on what, you know, the budget can afford each fiscal year.
And I will add that the 2019 street assessment is on kirbytexas.org under public notices. So that document is there for anyone who wants to access it, so they can see that how those streets were assessed.
And then just to mention about the crime control, that was reauthorized by the voters. Was it last year?
Yes.
So for another 5 years. And so that tax is set to come out for the next 5 years, and then it would go back to the voters if recommended for another reauthorization. And so those funds go into a separate budget, which crime control has a board that makes recommendations and votes to approve their budget. Then that budget comes to city council for final approval as the governing body. There will be a public hearing on their proposed budget at our July 23rd city council meeting that will be advertised in the paper. Those budgets are available at City Hall or the police station by request. We'll also post it on our website prior to the public hearing for anyone who has you know, questions about that budget and how it is spent. But those funds have to go back to support the police department and community crime prevention activities. And this is also helps people understand why we do not currently have an economic development tax. We are maxed out. If you add this up, we are at our 8.25. You cannot exceed that. So in order to have an economic development 4A or 4B tax that could go into a corporation for business recruitment or purchasing land, you'd have to release some of these other things. Because we get that question a lot also. Now, we do have an economic development committee. That's different. They just make recommendations, but we are not a funded corporation with a separate pot of money to spend on economic development projects. Anybody else have any questions on that?
So we're currently maxed out as far as the percent of the city tax, so there's nothing else we can do or add to it, unless, like Monique said, we take away from one. So we've allocated the sales tax to the Kirby Crime Control and the street maintenance. So, any other questions on the PowerPoint?
So we will have another budget workshop on Thursday, July 23rd at 6 p.m. At that point, we will be closer to the deadline that the tax office has to submit to us our proposed tax rate information. And so at that time, we'll be able to start actually working on drafting a budget and getting some budget direction from council. But we, you know, do want to keep in mind that last legislative session, Senate Bill 2 passed, which limits the percentage of taxes that can be imposed by cities. So we are being mindful of that as we work on our draft budget. And so they now have what they're calling a voter approval rate.
Yeah.
And there are rules that apply if, in fact, your proposed tax rate is going to exceed the voter approval rate, then it automatically triggers an election. So most of the cities are working to keep it under the voter approval rate because, again, you trigger an election, that's another expense that the city ends up with, and that would be in November, which would even be after the fiscal year starts. And the rule is if you don't have an adopted budget by September the 27th, you must use your current budget until you get to a newly adopted budget. So it triggers a lot of issues if you don't get your budget adopted by that time frame. So again, we invite all the residents to come on July 23rd to hear what is being proposed. And then following that, we'll have another workshop, a special meeting on the 30th at 6 p.m. And at that point to attempt to finalize our tax rate and our budget. And at any time, if anyone again, you know, wants to review it. All the proposed budgets end up posted on the city website. There is a tab for administration, and under there at the bottom, it lists approved budget, amended budget for each fund, as well as our audit each year, because we get questions about that as well. We do get an outside audit every year, and that is posted as well. And we also post our Hilltop Securities does our financial review and assessment, and that's posted annually also. Any other questions about budget before we move
on? I'm sorry, what is a budget again?
We don't have one. No. Okay. All right, so next we wanted to just bring back some updated information about the employee pay scale. I don't remember when it was. We first we discussed this in a workshop sometime last year. But we just, you have a copy of some paperclip documents that just give you some updated information on current employees. So for right now, the 2019-2020 fiscal year, we have a total budgeted 66 full-time employees and 20 part-time or reserve employees, as we'll call them. And so the breakdown of that is that in administration, there are 4 full-time employees. In the police department, there are 21 full-time and 2 part-time. Then, in addition, the police department has the school crossing guard, which is considered a part of their department. And again, we get funds from the county to assist with paying for that. And then they have 2 reserve police officers. And the reason we list them is because we call them paid reserves, because they actually can cover full shifts or cover when needed and get paid to do so. In court, we have 1 full-time employee. In the fire department, we have 25. That includes 12 at the Kirby station, 12 at the emergency services district, and the 1 chief position, and then 15 part-time fire employees. In animal services, we have 3 full-time employees. In public works, as I mentioned, is broken out by divisions. So in the parks division, there are 2 full-time employees. Streets has 2 full-time employees. And water has 8 full-time employees. Now, part of that is there's the director, then there's the water employees, and then also a clerk for the water department that's paid for. So they're not in public works, they're in the city hall, but that's paid for out of the water fund. And then just because we were asked this question, so out of the current 66 full-time and 20 part-time employees, we have 5 employees that live in the city of Kirby for information purposes.
And I did want to also, as far as the police, that we do not have any part-time patrol officers either. There are 2 reserve officers, however, we don't have, not all of our patrol officers are part-time. That was also something that was mentioned, and I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that we do not have all of our patrol officers as part-time.
And also in the police department, when we classify them all as patrol officers, but that also includes the officer who does canine, officer who does traffic and warrants, and the officer who does code enforcement. They're also considered, they're all licensed peace officers, so they are police officers as well. Then the next couple of sheets, we had talked about moving away from cost of living adjustment pay increases and going toward more of a merit-based pay system. And so each department head went over a mock employee evaluation to kind of give you some examples. And so, you know, I can let them explain that. But before we do that, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the history of how we got here, for also is good information. And I can only go back to 2015. I got here at the end of 14, so this will start with April of 2015. So in April of 2015, we did a mid-year 6% salary increase for all employees. And that was based on the fact that at that time, there had been several surveys and pay scales pulled from other departments, and it just showed that Kirby was significantly behind in pay. So it was asked at that time to look at what we could do. So we were able to afford 6% across the board at that time. Then in July of 2016, we approved our first employee pay scale. And at that time, that cost the city $55,835 to implement that pay scale. Every employee did not get an increase at that time, but every employee was classified at that time. So some were considered below the appropriate pay for their job and years of service. Some were considered right where they should be, and some were beyond the scale. So that's why some received pay increase and some did not at that time. In October of 2017, at the start of the fiscal year, we received a 3% salary increase across the board for all employees, and that was for cost of living. And then in February of 2018, we revised the pay scale, and at that time, the funds did not necessarily go to the employees, but it went across the scale. So it was a 3% just across the scale to increase what those pays were at each step at that time. And then in October of 2018, there was another 3% cost of living salary adjustment approved across the board for all employees.
Except for department heads, right?
No, in 18.
18, there was okay. Department heads.
18, with this past start of this fiscal 2%. Year, there was a 2% merit-based pay increase approved for all employees except department heads.
Gotcha.
And so that was based on each employee's annual evaluation, which were done in October. And some employees received 2%, some received maybe a 1%. And so that was, again, based on how the scores rolled out. But at that time is when we started working on revising that evaluation so that it's a little more specific. It's something that you can explain to an employee in advance, and it has a score. And then with the understanding that every fiscal year, you still have to approve funds within the budget for that fiscal year. But the employees would know what they're being evaluated on, and we try to make it as fair as possible in that it's not just across the board for everybody, or it's not based on favoritism or any other unfair practice. It was actually how you performed in the year. So the criteria for each of these departments is pretty much the same, but the based on their jobs, that's how the scoring is done and what the duties and so forth are. So do you have any questions on that before maybe I ask chiefs or public works director if either of you want to kind of go over just your mock example?
Is that mine?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, so if you look at the form that was presented, I made up an employee, Officer John Bradley, filled up the top section with his, I have to take these off, they're fogging up on me, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
So filled out his job title, I put my name in as the rater, and then the rating period, and then the date we sat down with the employee. The sheet is broken down into four categories, and that is timeliness and attendance, performance, quality, and quality of work and productivity. Number three is training, and number four is teamwork. Each of those four areas are subdivided into five smaller categories, and then you can score a maximum of 5 points per category for a total of 25 points per major category, and then you score it up at the bottom. Maximum score on the evaluation is 100%. So basically what I'll do is I'll just kind of define the first group. This is timeliness and attendance. This particular form is broken down into five subcategories. Is the employee consistently on time? So every employee, no matter what department they work for, they all have a report time. You know, whether it's 7 o'clock or 3 o'clock, they all know what time they're supposed to be. So what we wanted to do was come up with a way to evaluate them based on that. So it doesn't matter if you're a police officer, we're not talking police, just, you know what time you're supposed to be here? Are you on time consistently? So based on what we see, if there are tardiness issues, we also monitor those employees that come in early. At the police department, they're not authorized to clock in before 10 minutes before their shift unless they're specifically instructed to because of call volume or emergencies. So based on that, whether or not that employee is on time, we break down a scale of 1 to 5. The second item is the employee response time to calls for service within the established norms. So what I am looking at in my department is dispatch gets a 911 call, they get on the radio, they call an officer, Officer Bradley, I have a call for you. And he gets on the radio and says, go ahead, the call information's given. So does he go, you know, how long does it take him to get to the scene? How long does it how much time does it take for him to respond to that customer's call for service? The third one, does the employee make themselves available for extra duty or special events? So from time to time, we have special events that occur in the city, be them festivals, parades, meetings like this. I got Corporal Lackey in the background covering, providing security for us here this evening. Additionally, we have extra shifts. For instance, if Corporal Lackey goes on vacation, I have got to pull somebody in, usually on an overtime status, to cover his shift because we have minimum staffing requirements to make sure that there's enough officers on the street to service the needs of the customer and to make sure they're at least he has backup if he's on a big call by himself. So we look at, you know, in the past we've had officers that, I mean, you basically had to haul in to work a Hobo Fest or a Little League parade or something like that. So how willing are they to make themselves available for stuff like that? Are reports and other associated paperwork completed on time? I have a standard within the department, specifically on crime reports. All your paperwork has to be done and turned into a supervisor before you go off shift. That includes incident reports, arrest reports, if the officer issued any citations on a traffic stop, all of that has to be complete. So again, things that could affect that score is if, you know, the officer is poor at time management or he takes too long at lunch and he doesn't have time to complete his paperwork, that is something that we look at on a daily basis. The last area, does the employee make good use of his on-duty time? So while it is becoming more and more a rarity, there are times when an officer will hit the street at 7 o'clock in the morning and everybody's behaving themselves. There's nothing, you know, there's no disturbance calls, there's no burglary calls, there's no robbery calls. So what is that officer doing with his time in between the calls? Is he out there actively patrolling in a preventative fashion within the neighborhoods? Is he up on 78 on Ackerman Road looking to enforce traffic laws? Is he into the city looking at code enforcement issues? What is he doing when he's not been dispatched on a call? So each one of those areas is scored 1 to 5. And if you look, I threw in some example times, you know, response times, a call for service. I graded this officer a 2. He got a 5 on making themselves available for extra duty. He got a 4 on completing associated paperwork on time. And a 5 on the officer making good use of the time. So in that particular box, he scored a 21. Then if you continue on down the list, you'll see that in category 2, he scored a 19, in category 3, an 18, and category 4, teamwork, he scored a 13. So the backside of this report is these are opportunities for me to explain the scores I gave them on the front. For instance, section B, record job strengths, superior performance, progress, and achievements. Officer Bradley routinely makes more felony arrests than any other officer. Okay, so I'm taking that opportunity to describe something about that officer that makes him a step up of some of his contemporaries. Section C, specific, record specific work performance deficiencies or job behaviors requiring improvement or correction. My example was Officer Bradley needs to make himself more available for city-sponsored events and activities. And if you look at the corresponding section on the front, you'll see I did score him low in making himself available. So I'm taking an opportunity, but I score him a 2 on that. So I'm taking an opportunity to explain why I scored him a 2 rather than a 5. Section D, record specific goals and improvement programs to be undertaken during the next evaluation. Officer Bradley should focus on obtaining his classes required for his next skill level, and that is TCOL licensing. Peace officers are either probationary, basic, intermediate, advanced, or master. Right now we've got I think the only thing we don't have is intermediate. We're all probationary, basic, advanced, or masters. So one of the things that I do is kind of coach the officers into what type of classes that they need to do and where they have to get them done or when they have to get them done to make their next level. And the overall pay chart is actually tied to those type of things. So if I get an officer who's a basic police officer and he completes his intermediate training and he's awarded that certificate by the state, that makes him eligible for a pay raise. So Section E, just in any additional comments that I want to put in, whether I think the officer is a fine officer, as I indicated in this, or he's a substandard officer, or any other areas that he needs to improve on. The bottom portion of this is just for me to rate and sign. I get the employee to sit down. This has gone over with the employee so that they understand exactly what it is. I get them to sign it, and then they're given a photocopy. Originals are sent to City Hall. Any questions on?
So do you find the use of the form relatively easy? And this was for everybody, something that you can have tangible and be able to, you know, to at least sit down with someone and actually show them, and because that was something that was missing previously. So that's why I was wondering if the ease of the form.
One of the problems I had with the previous form is, and I don't remember which chief it was, when I started off as a rookie patrolman, it was the same form then that we are still currently using, again, because this was a proposed form. And that particular form was actually taking off of an airman performance report from the Air Force. So I was very familiar with it before I got here. I've been very familiar with it, as well as, you know, Corporal Lackey was in the Air Force. Most of my military veterans are familiar with a similar form. Sometimes employees that have not had any prior military experience tend to get a little lost. It looks a little complicated. I think, although I have not sat down and actually used this form yet, I kind of geared it to make it simpler, clearer, more concise, and this is going to sound contradicting, more generalized. So that way, if it was something that the city chose to, that way we all, because right now, we're all different. You know, the form I use, actually Kevin Riedel kind of took my form and tweaked it for, but it's all different straight across the board. We don't have a uniform, and if you read my form, it talks about specific police type job functions. It's not anything that could be used for the fire department or public works. This one here, in the design process, we wanted to look for criteria and explain it in a manner to which I can use this on my senior detective, or Monique could use this on the city secretary or the court clerk. That way, because I'm not saying, you know, does the officer make more arrests? No, how does the officer perform in their job, or how does the employee perform in their job? So that way, it doesn't matter if you're public works, police, fire, EMS, how do they do their job? So I actually kind of like it. I think it's going to be simpler to use. I think it's going to be simpler for the employee to understand.
Great.
So now that I've affected it with cooties, do you want me to take it or?
So, you know, again, what we were trying to achieve was standardize that, have something that is actually tangible with a related score. And then as we look at each fiscal year, if we're able to say this percentage can be funded for this fiscal year, then we know based on whatever your score is, where you fall on the percentage increase, so they would all be different based on an employee's annual evaluation. So, you know, if we're not asking for any action tonight, we're just wanting to know if we achieve kind of what we talked about going in this direction. And as we work on, you know, our budget at the next meeting on the 23rd, we will see if and how we can accommodate the revised pay scale that goes with this evaluation criteria within the upcoming fiscal year budget.
Well, for me, I mean, the form is exactly, to me, what we were talking about previously, is that people are, or employees are able to, again, be, to actually have a valuable conversation with their manager about what are they doing well, what can they achieve, what can they work on, those kinds of things. So before it was just kind of like, yes, no, maybe kind of thing, so. I mean, as far as this, I think that each employee would definitely know where they stood with their manager, regardless of the pay scale in general. Just, I mean, even if it was that nobody, unfortunately, you know, received a pay raise, at least their performance, there would be a real conversation to be had.
And the only thing that, you know, I was thinking about earlier is that we may want to add is a last section that talks about your goals for the next 12 months, because I mean, it has the area that touches on performance improvements or what you've done well, but I think it's important also in the evaluation that we set goals for this next 12 months.
Yep.
So we may add that as the last section.
It's already on there. Section D.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. I would say that was what Chief was talking about.
Talking about the next level here.
Yes. It's just not at the end. It's in the...
Look at that. I did it before I knew it.
Yeah, there you go. Way ahead of yourself.
All right, does anybody else have any questions about that? All right.
Okay.
Do you have anything further? Tina? All right. So we will... It is 6:55. We'll adjourn this meeting, our special meeting, and then we will start the next one.